carry on together in our working through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the epistle to the Philippians. In the Pew Bibles, page 1349, Philippians chapter 1. We'll take up again at verse 19. Let's give our attention to the Holy Word of God. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear is in me. So far from the Holy Word of God, I urge you, if you're able, to keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking particularly at the verses 22 through 26, and I'll read as a window onto those verses as our text this morning, verses 25 and 26. Once again, being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how are you doing in your Christian walk? How are things going for you? Have you reflected upon this at all of late? You ever give any thought to whether you're making progress in the Christian life? When you think perhaps over the last year or two and the situation we find ourselves in, do you ever wonder, am I making advances in the Christian faith? And if I had asked the next question, how would that go? Are you joyful? Do you find yourself rejoicing in the Lord? The Apostle Paul ends this little section that we're looking at here with a desire that their rejoicing would abound in Jesus Christ. He speaks of glorying in, reveling in, boasting about the blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You find yourself there. You find that these words describe you. Well, I find these words challenging. When Paul speaks here of his desire to see the church at Philippi making progress, that's the purpose of his writing, he actually states here in verse 25. He desires to remain, to be with them for their progress and joy in the faith. I submit to you this is a very helpful summary of what Paul is all about in the whole letter to the Philippians. To see them making progress in the joy of faith, progressing in faith and living in the joy of that faith. And I have to acknowledge, I trust perhaps you do too, that this is indeed a challenge to me. It convicts me. He states a similar thing in 1 Timothy 4, just to show you the way it sort of convicts me as a pastor. In 1 Timothy 4, he had left Timothy with some instructions. Young pastor Timothy was to be serving at the church at Ephesus. And he says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And what he wants to emphasize in all of this, verse 15, "Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." That your progress may be evident to all. It's the same thing that he desires for the church at Philippi. Now, when I hear that goal for the church at Philippi, I'm reminded of what Paul had said to Timothy with regard to myself as a pastor. And I have to acknowledge these words convict me. Am I seeing progress, and is my progress evident to all in terms of my own progress and joy in the faith? And I wonder if you can identify with that. Are you making progress? Are you being joyful? And where we find ourselves convicted, what are we to do? If we think to ourselves that even as Christians, whether we've been Christians for a short time or a long time, I sometimes find myself going backwards, or I sometimes find myself stagnating in the Christian life. I sometimes find myself, rather than being joyful, overwhelmed with a sense of discouragement and frustration. What am I to do? And again, I submit to you that in terms of Paul's focus here in his whole epistle that is summarized here at verse 25, he wants to minister to them for their progress and joy in the faith. We have an encouraging direction. We have what we need. And whether I speak this morning to many of us who are Christians short time or long, or whether there are those who wonder if I could ever have that blessing of the faith in Christ Jesus, the blessing is found in Christ Jesus. And the blessing is encouraged here in what Paul shows us. So let's try to unpack that together for your progress and joy in the faith. I know I need it. I trust you do too. I'll put it this way in these three points this morning. We learn this from Paul. Our desire is to be with Christ. Our devotion is to be like Christ, and our delight abounds in Christ. You note the focus, as we've been seeing here in Philippians, but it's all over the Bible, of course. It's the focus is on Christ. And you understand as well that when you struggle with not making progress or being stagnating in the Christian life, the answer is not for somebody to come along and wag their finger at you and say, do some more and try harder and run faster and try to make some progress. Any more than it was ever helpful when you were sad and discouraged and frustrated and someone said, come on, cheer up, be joyful. Those are not things that we can do in and of ourselves. They're blessings we enjoy that we find in Christ. And that's why the emphasis here from what Paul is saying is on what we have in Christ, despite the difficulties. So we see in the first place from the Apostle Paul, our desire is to be with Christ. Remember how Paul had articulated already in verse 20 his earnest expectation that Christ would be magnified in his body. He wants Christ proclaimed. He wants Christ to be big. He wants Christ to be famous. all over the world. And he had also expressed his own heartfelt conviction, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." We focused on those things already, and now he fleshes that out. He shows how it unfolds in regular everyday life, and in particular in his life. And what he does is he shows us something of attention. He speaks of that in verse 23. "I am hard pressed," he says, "between two things." And the two things for Paul are the options, so to speak, of departing to be with Christ or remaining to stay and minister for their progress and joy in the gospel. "I'm hard pressed," he says. You could say he feels himself torn apart by two conflicting desires. One seems to be in conflict with the other. Now, I think we all know what conflicting desires are. I think we can all relate to what it is to be sort of torn apart with obligations pressing upon us. As parents, we find that, don't we? As a preacher who is a parent, I can tell you how that goes in terms of my responsibilities and privileges with regard to loving my wife or loving my children, loving and serving the church. Sometimes you feel yourself torn one way or the other. And I think we can all identify with that sort of thing one way or the other. But Paul is speaking about ultimate realities, two conflicting things taking place at the same time to which he must give his devotion. And then he explains to us, verse 23, he goes on, "a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." And he's explaining what we'd already seen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And he's acknowledging that his heart's desire is to be with Christ. Paul is not an escapist here. Paul is not running away in expressing this, running away from trouble. Paul is acknowledging what is on his heart as his deepest, most privileged joy in looking forward to the blessing of knowing he will be with Christ. Now, it's important for us to appreciate what he's saying here. This is a bit of what we've already covered with regard to 1 verse 21. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Life here on earth is good. Life to come with the Lord Jesus Christ is better, far better, Paul says. He would say in another place in Colossians 2, verse 9, "It's not entered into the heart of man to imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's not entered into the heart of man to imagine what God has prepared for those who love him." We can't even begin to imagine the blessing that has been prepared for us. Far better is that blessing. But let's appreciate what Paul says makes that better. It's not so much, though it's true, that there is not going to be any sickness or sorrow or sadness anymore. It is that, but that's not the focus. It's not even so much that I'm going to be finished with sin and able to serve the Lord my God with joy and enthusiasm forever, without the stain of sin, without the guilt of sin bothering me. It is that, but it's not that as its focus. What's the focus? It's to be with Christ, where Christ is, and to have that confidence forever. You know, people have superficial views of what the future maintains or what the future has for us, what we can expect. You know, people say, well, I'm going to have a better golf game. All those struggles I have with my golf swing are going to be fixed and over and done with. Well, where's Christ in that line of thinking? He's not there. And Paul's concern, Paul's confidence, Paul's joy is to depart, to be with Christ, where Christ is. Now, there are other people who have views. I maybe shared this with you before, but as pastor, I've been at the deathbed of many people in hospital, and I've heard many times from people who just are passing by in the context of death, and they regularly make comments like, when the person dies, well, they're in a better place. We don't have that confidence for those who are not in Christ. And Paul speaks of departing to be with Christ, which is far better. That's a blessing that is only known in Christ. So whenever people have ideas in their own head about what eternity will look like that are not focused in Christ, they're all completely wrongheaded. And there's so much that we look forward to in eternity that is above and beyond what we could ever imagine, that the blessing of focusing on Christ is where we need to be focused. And that's what Paul's talking about. That's his confidence. I have a desire, he says. The word there is sometimes translated lust. That is to say, it is a strong desire. Now, there can be positive and there can be negative. There can be God-glorifying desires, and there can be, of course, sinful lusts. But Paul's earnest desire is to depart and to be with Christ because he knows that is far better. But again, this is not a death wish on his part. This is not a fleeing from trouble. This is not a desperate escape plan. Paul had also said back in verse 22, in terms of these two choices, departing to be with Christ, remaining for your progress and joy in the faith, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. So when we spoke of options, so to speak, we're acknowledging that the Apostle Paul is also telling us here, I don't know. This is not in my hands. This is in God's hands and can be left safely in God's hands. It's not for me to know which I am to choose. If it were up to me, of course, I would ultimately desire to be with Christ. Is that your desire? And my encouragement for us, for our own progress and joy in the faith, is to appreciate the blessing that God has promised us in the riches that are ours in Jesus Christ, to be able to say, that's my desire too. Because having that desire and that confidence of what we look forward to enables us to persevere where we are and to serve Him here on earth. We see in the second place, for your progress and joy in the faith, there is the aspect of our devotion. Our devotion is to be like Christ. And we learn that from the Apostle Paul. Because he has expressed to us his firm conviction, what would be better for him personally, he nevertheless goes on to say, verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul is teaching us something here, isn't he? He's showing us what it is to be Christ-like. The one who came in the flesh. And we needed that. We needed him very, very much to come in the flesh. So what the Apostle Paul is showing us that it's not so much about what he needs personally, as much as it is for him to be concerned for the well-being of what we have corporately. Or I could put it this way. At this time in his life, the Apostle Paul is showing us that he would rather be like Christ than to be with Christ. And he's showing us that there are times when we are called and privileged to be devoted to the well-being of the community over against our own personal interests. Now you think about that. That's what Paul is showing us here. We often get that backwards, sad to say, and I think that shows in terms of lack of progress in the joy of faith. we'll give ourselves to the well-being of the church if it doesn't get in the way of our personal interests. But Paul is showing us something different. He says that the well-being of the Christian community takes precedence over our personal interest. So, he's showing us what it is to be Christ-like. You see that? We'll get into it in the next chapter when we get to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5, Paul is saying this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You see what Christ has done for the well-being of his people? And Paul is showing us when he says, you know what? The best thing by far for me would be if I were actually to be executed here in prison and I could go to be with Jesus. And Paul is confident that were that to be the case, he would be with Jesus every step of the way. And even in that suffering, it would be an opportunity to be with Jesus. And he would ultimately be with Jesus where he was and behold his glory, with Jesus at the center. But he's saying, but if the Lord would have me continue on and remain, this is my confident commitment. I shall remain, verse 25, and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. It's going to mean a couple of things for Paul. It's going to mean what we've seen already at verse 22, fruit from my labor or fruitful labor. It's going to mean work. It's going to take effort. But there's a realization as well, as he speaks of that in verse 24, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And if the Lord allows the Apostle Paul to continue, which he will, there is a desire to be a blessing because you need that. The church needs the gospel to be preached. We need fruitful labor among us. And if we are to be those who are making progress in the joy of faith, we are to be like Paul in Christ-likeness with a desire to be laborers. Diligent and fruitful service for the well-being of one another. We need that. We need each other. As long as the Lord has placed us here, we are needed in one form or another. Some of us are getting older. Some of us are getting weaker. But there's always a place for fruitful labor of some form or another. And the apostle's concern is that you make progress. It's all for your progress and joy in the faith. Literally, in the faith. Which is to say, the faith that you believe, the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and the faith that God has given you to believe. You want to grow in those things. You want to grow in your understanding of the Bible. You want to grow in confidence. You want to grow in a sense of peace and rest and assurance by God's grace. And for all of these things, what do we need? We need each other. We need each other engaged in fruitful labor. That's work. We need the gospel. We need the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul says all of that leads to this final sense of blessing. We're making progress in joy in the faith. That, he says, verse 26, your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. The third point, our delight abounds in Christ. It's a blessing that we enjoy in Christ. So we have this tension. You remember that? As the Apostle Paul explained that. He's being pulled one way and the other. He desires to depart and be with Christ. And he desires to be a blessing to remain for their progress and joy in the faith. What are you supposed to do about that? What are you supposed to do when it seems like you have conflicting obligations like those? Well, you say, I embrace both of them. I continue to seek to grow in a sense of awe and joy and confidence that I have a glorious future with God in Christ. I desire to depart to be with Christ. But in so long as God in His wisdom has me here in this world with these troubles, I'm going to work. I'm going to strive to put the needs of others, particularly the needs of others in the Christian community and the needs of others who yet need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to seek to put them ahead of my own. We need each other. We need the gospel to be preached. We need the word to go forward. We need churches to be planted. But you see, when you have that dual focus, rather than this or that, when you have the dual focus, you'll find yourself, by God's grace, making progress and having joy in the faith. That's not to say there will not be challenges or difficulties. But you'll find yourself, as Paul says, abounding in this rejoicing, this glorying, this boasting, not in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ. In the context of our labors, we'll have a more intense longing that one day things will all be made new. But because we know that one day all things will be made new, we have strength for our labors. And that enables us to abound in joy. Do you want to make progress? Do you want to see your progress and joy in the faith? Learn here from the Apostle Paul to have that focus on Jesus. Whether we would depart to go to be with Him, that's a glorious hope. Whether He leaves us here to work fruitfully, let us do it with earnestness, with joy in the gospel. What is it to rejoice? And to abound in rejoicing in Christ, to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me encourage everyone who is here this morning. It means casting all your care upon Him. It means putting your trust in Him. And as you glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, you acknowledge there is no hope apart from Him. But then you may abound in that blessing. And that's Paul's desire. And in our struggles, where we sometimes are frustrated with lack of progress, with lack of joy, this is our encouragement. This is the way of blessing. It's found in Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You direct us to Jesus Christ. And we thank You that we may come to abound in joy and gladness in what we have in Jesus Christ, knowing that there is no life, no certainty, no future anywhere other than through Him. We thank You that we have been encouraged and challenged here by the example of the Apostle Paul to have the utter desire to one day be with the Lord Jesus. But we thank You that his desire was not selfish, that rather than seek his own personal best, which was far better. He desired the well-being of the body. We pray that you would help us to have the same focus and spirit. We acknowledge that none of this is even attainable. None of this would be ours apart from who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done. Help us as we rest in him to be glad in him. And as we have the eternal confidence that Paul speaks of, help us to be marked by Christ-likeness, by a love and joy in Christ that wants to serve others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.